All right.
For me, success is continuing to fulfill my potential. So it's always something I'm looking toward, not something I've achieved.
To me, success is doing something that you love to do that allows you to be of service to others, and it gives you a sense of fulfillment in your heart.
I think I chased success so much that I put happiness on hold for 20 years, and now I realize if I put happiness first, the success chases me.
Success is being able to have the control of your day-to-day, of your life, of having a freedom, financial independence. If you're doing it on your own schedule, that's success.
In essence, the fulfillment of knowing that you've done your best is my definition of success.
This is the Alden Report.
Hey, it's Mike Alden. You know, I know you're going to love this next episode of the Alden Report with Trey Llewellyn. He gives us amazing knowledge and information about the world of e-commerce, about how to advertise online, about how to grow your business online, how to scale your business online, whether it be Facebook marketing, whether it be, you know, traditional just pay-per-click marketing, whatever it is, this guy has been doing it, and the information he gives, quite frankly, people pay thousands and thousands of dollars for. But before I do, I want to introduce you to our sponsor, Wicked Drones, the WCKDdrones.com. You know, if you're in the construction business, if you're in the insurance business, if you're in the inspection services business, maybe you have a search and rescue operation that you need to partake on. Maybe you're just in the real estate business, or maybe you just want to have, you know, an athletic event filmed. Then check out the guys at wickeddrones.com. That's WCKDdrones.com. Tell them that Mike Alden sent you, and I can guarantee you this, the service that they provide is second to none. So if you're in the New England area, again, go to wickeddrones.com. That's WCKDdrones.com.
This is the Alden Report.
All right. Well, my name is Michael Alden, and this is the Alden Report. I'm still rocking my glasses that I got at the dollar store. Just so everyone's aware, these glasses cost me 99 cents. It actually is sunny. Again, I'm here in my home office. I'm super, super excited for my next guest. You know, I like to interview, obviously, interesting people, but I also like to interview people that know things a lot better than me, people that have done things better than me and are continue to be successful. So I think you're going to be really, really excited for this podcast, because if you are considering, you know, moving online, if you're considering opening up an e-commerce store, if you're looking at all these different things that we hear about, these funnels and online marketing, you're not going to want to miss my next guest. You know, it's pretty simple. I was thinking about, how do I introduce this guy, Trey Llewellyn? Well, I met him first on this new app called Clubhouse. And by the way, if you're not on it, you totally need to be on it, because it's one of the most amazing things I've come across within the past couple of years. Trey Llewellyn, really the easiest way to describe this guy is he is a online superstar. He is an e-commerce superstar. This guy sells anything and everything you can imagine. I know he's in the gun space. He sells, you know, pretty much anything you can imagine that you want. This guy has probably been behind it. So we're going to talk. I'm going to like try and get all of his secrets. I want to know how he does it. I want to know what sort of money he's making. I'm going to ask him all the questions a lot of people might not have asked him before. So please help me welcome Trey Llewellyn. Trey, thanks so much for being my guest.
Yeah, man. I must have said something like really smart for you to have me on here on that Clubhouse app. I appreciate it.
Well, you know what? Listen, I'll be honest with you. So, I mean, I want you to tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure.
Know a little bit about your background and kind of how you got started. But, you know, what happened was, again, we kind of interacted and connected on this app Clubhouse, and I listened to what you had to say. It's pretty obvious that you know what you're doing, right? Because there's a lot of people out there that are just, you know, kind of faking it until they make it, and they're just faking it pretty much the entire time. You, on the other hand, you obviously know what you're doing in this space, and it's not just one particular product. It's more of the category of like e-commerce and selling stuff online. So when I heard you talk, I was like, this guy's the shit, man. Like, he knows his thing. So before I try and extract as many secrets as I can from you for free, because I know you charge thousands of dollars in some of your courses. So again, you're going to get some free information here, folks, if you're listening and watching. Tell us a little bit about your background. How'd you first, transition from the workaday world to, you know, being an entrepreneur and being a super successful online entrepreneur?
Yeah. Well, how long do we have? How long are we on this thing for?
Dude, we'll just, as long as we can, like.
Oh, it just goes? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I mean, well, then, I mean, as long as my computer can support it. I mean, I'm
let's make a record podcast. So yeah. I'll just keep my answers, you know, for the short. And then if you want to go deeper, we can always go deeper. Basically, man, short story was I was an insurance agent making 60 grand a year. After our overhead and payroll to my, you know, one assistant, it came probably like 25 grand. So I felt like I was, you know, poverty, if you will. I knew I needed to get out. I had like a boss that I hated the idea. I didn't control the market. I didn't control the price. I didn't control the product. I didn't control the customer service. I didn't control anything. And so I was just, you know, stuck in a corner trying to sell something that I had no way to change. Right. And so that was kind of the first aha for me. And I got introduced to internet marketing through an event called Traffic and Conversion, where I sat in the back of a room when Perry Belcher gets on stage, Ryan Dice gets on stage, Carl White gets on stage, and they're putting up numbers that were just, to me at the time, unbelievable, impossible, not obtainable, like, you know, 600 grand a year kind of deal. Right. And I'm sitting next to this guy who's probably 20. I was probably 24. And I was like, I was in the back of the room, super embarrassed. Like this is beyond me. And I'm looking at this kid. I was like, do you believe these numbers that they're putting up here? And he goes, oh yeah, man, we do like 10 grand a month right now, just selling cat toys.
Right.
I was like, cat toys. And he's like, yeah, we just, you know, I was like, so you got like a Facebook page or something? He's like, yeah. We just got this Facebook page. We put up memes all day, and then we just make millions in sales on our platform selling cat toys. I was like, holy crap, this is something that I need to understand, because it's an evolution, right? Beyond insurance sales. So basically I came back, I said, all right, well, what business do we get in? And my brother was actually in the academy to be a police officer. He was actually 1 month away from graduating police academy and to become a police officer here in St. Louis. And I knew in my heart, he's my only brother. He's my youngest brother, 7 years difference. And I said, hey man, I'd rather you not come home in a casket, frankly. And I want to do anything beyond my means that I can to make sure that doesn't happen. And that was starting a business together. And I said, we should start a business together. Look at all these numbers. You know, I'm showing him the numbers. I was like, it's possible, right? And he didn't believe
Let me stop right there. So I just want to put it in perspective. So you have zero experience. You went to this Traffic and Conversion. You're an insurance guy. You have no experience in this stuff at all. Right.
That's right. I have nothing.
All
right. Zero.
All right. So, but you said to your brother, listen, let's do it. Let's start a business. So I think that's important, you know, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, on this Clubhouse app, a lot of people, they don't know, they want to start, but they just never do. But you started. So that's important, right? Especially in entrepreneurship. You said, hey, you know what? Like you said, let's make a run at it. All right. So keep going. So you and your brother, you started this business.
Start a business. I said, what do you want to start a business about? He goes, I love guns. And I said, well, I'll give you the guns and I'll give you the everything except for, you know, lights and sirens on your car. I'll probably give it to you, but just don't run it. You'll get pulled over. And we'll just go after that. I'll be the marketing guy. You be the gun guy. Like, you know everything about guns. So that's kind of how we got in the gun niche. This was back, you know, 8 years ago now, when Facebook was actually allowing Facebook fan page profiles to get just, you know, ridiculous viral reach, just kind of like Clubhouse is right now, like Periscope was, like, you know, all the first app traditions. Sure. We got on Facebook, created a page, and we had, I think, 100,000 followers within, you know, probably 3 or 4 months, just from people liking our content. We just put up memes. Then I watched a webinar that Tanner Larson, we've become really good friends now, but I don't know if you know him, Tanner Larson,
who I've also met on this app. And I think I might have him booked on the podcast as well, but yeah, keep going. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. He'll be hilarious to have on. We can battle it. So basically Tanner Larson put up a webinar and just a training on how he was selling t-shirts online using a platform called Teespring, TESPRING.com. Yep. And he's like, dude, I just put phrases on the t-shirts. I put it to my fan page. There's no, it's all organic reach. It's all like crazy. And we made sales. I was like, holy smokes, we should do that. And I became a really big case study for Tanner, because we actually sold more t-shirts than he was selling. And he was the mentor. So that was pretty cool. We actually did something. And
I want to stop you again. By the way, I'm a chronic interrupter. It's kind of my
thing. No, do it. I'm good.
So, because again, when I hear this stuff, for someone like, again, for someone like yourself who really knows this stuff, and sometimes for me, I've been marketing on television for the past 20 years. So it's almost like I'm kind of new into this whole online space. So you say you start selling t-shirts through Teespring. Now Teespring is a print on demand, website. So when you say you first started selling t-shirts, I'm guessing that they're within the gun genre. How are you getting people to the website to buy there like that? What was your first, kind of play on advertising, because people aren't just showing up there?
Yeah, that's true. I probably should take a step back. Like, just because you put up a t-shirt, what you think is cool, doesn't mean people are going to buy it, right?
Right.
So a step back from that would be how did you know what t-shirts they would want to buy and what phrases they wanted to buy on the t-shirts? And taking it from that perspective, we were on that fan page. And what we would do is we would just go get memes in the gun space. So we got this meme that said, this was one that actually did really well. It was Glock paper scissors. So a gun being a Glock. So there's like an image of that paper scissors. Right. People thought it was hilarious and awesome, but that was a meme. We just started, you could find that meme if you Google image it now, and we just put gun memes. So we would take these gun memes that had phrases on them, put them in the fan page and watch which ones went viral. Which ones got the most likes, shares, comments, blah, blah, blah. That was kind of our radar to know this might go on a shirt really well. People might actually wear this. And so then we took that Glock paper scissors logo, that phrase, put it on a t-shirt, showed everybody the t-shirt and said, we just simply asked in the Facebook fan page, will you buy this? ? And if the comments are like, yes, where do I buy it? How do I buy it? How much? Where do I get it? Like, what's the link? Then we know like we're onto something. And then we went into production at that point, which, there wasn't much production. It was just putting a phrase on a t-shirt and allowing Teespring to fulfill it. And that was the bonus on that piece.
So how did you, all those sales and that, kind of your first foray into selling stuff online, all those sales were in fact just coming from your Facebook page without advertising, just based off of the meme and the fans there on the page, like you weren't even advertising?
That's right. At first, that got us to a point, right? That got us to making him know that he didn't have to work and making me understand that maybe I don't have to be in this insurance career my entire life. Like we were only doing maybe $5,000 or $7,000 a month at that time, just using the social perspective of the fan page.
Was it just Facebook? I mean, because 8 years ago, I mean, Instagram wasn't Instagram might've been around, but it wasn't doing much. And there really wasn't anything. I mean, obviously TikTok wasn't there. Snapchat wasn't there. Twitter was around, but not doing a lot either. So it's just Facebook.
Yep, it's all just Facebook, the Facebook fan page.
Right.
And then came out the credit card, right? Like, all right, so now how do we do ads? How do we do Facebook ads? And then how do we make sure that we're not overpaying and all that stuff? So that's when we started to really understand scale, profitability, KPIs, key performance indicators, and knowing like, all right, how much money can we put into Facebook before we actually go negative, for every transaction?
Right. And so when you do that, when you start to now, so you transition from, and by the way, just again, for those listening, I hope you're taking notes. I'm kind of taking notes a little bit over here. It's really interesting, what Trey was saying. So first you started out with a fan page. A fan page is just a page that you can create for free. You can do that on Facebook with whatever it is you want to talk about. Then he created content, essentially developed a following. Then he started marketing towards them. And then the next step was, all right, cool. Let's see if we can start advertising. And the interesting part about, again, what you're saying is it was like your research and development, right? You posted that meme, that t-shirt, asked the question. Again, it's kind of like you're caught what I would call like a copy test. So now you say, like you said, we break out the credit card and we're going to start advertising on Facebook. Tell me a little bit about that beginning stages. Tell me about the mistakes that you made, the things that you learned, like right then and there, like don't do this or do this and things like that. Because by the way, I literally just had my Facebook ads account shut down like a couple days ago. I got on Clubhouse and like everyone just, told me that it's okay. It's okay. It's normal. It's like a part of the process. It's like being indoctrinated into the Facebook world. So
you got initiated.
Yeah. So you start your Facebook advertising and how'd that initially go?
And I want to hit something real quick is the principles that I'm sharing with you are still valid today. It's just not a fan page anymore. It's a Facebook group. So you get the same viral file, and this can happen in the group just like we did on the fan page. So that's not dead. Like it's just moved a little bit over to the right.
Sure.
So just know that this stuff still works really
again,
well.
Again, too, like You know, so Trey has a whole course. I mean, so if you did want some more, if you're listening right now and you want some more information about Trey Llewellyn, you could just Google Trey Llewellyn. It's spelled Lewellyn. The first name is Trey, Trey. He's all over Facebook. He's on Instagram. You can find him there as well. So if you instantly, within these first couple of minutes, you're like, I want this guy, just go ahead and your website's treylewellyn.com. You can find him there and learn a little bit more about what he's doing. Again, he charges thousands and thousands of dollars for this stuff, and he's giving it to us for free. So, and we're just getting started. So, all right. You start advertising on Facebook the first time. Tell me a little bit about that experience and what happened.
So that's when we ran into the first limiting belief that I conquered. This was a challenge for me, is I've never spent any money on a social media platform. I've never spent, any money that doesn't give me an instant return, right? Like gas, I get gas. I go to the grocery store and I get a candy bar. And so now it's like, how do I put money into this website and it somehow gives me sales, and how much am I supposed to give it, right? And like most people, I gave it $10 a day because that's pretty much all I was comfortable with. So it was a huge comfort piece for me, is I was super in my comfort zone. I didn't want to go out of that. I didn't want to break out of that. So we sat down and we started advertising $10 a day, and we're making sales. We're making great sales. I think we went from like $5,000 to maybe like $7,000 or so a month in sales and in Teespring sales. And that equated to probably profit wise of like $2,000 to $3,000, right? Which is ironic because that's pretty much the same amount of money I was making as an insurance agent. So I literally doubled my income. Okay. Right. So you could say that, which is kind of cool. But it wasn't like, oh, he became a millionaire overnight. That did not happen. There's a lot of struggles, a lot of limiting beliefs that I had to get through. And this, so all of this happened in and through, weaved into this is mentors, right? I invested in mentors that I could not afford. I invested all the time in mentors throughout this process. And this second piece here is very important and crucial to the entire success of where I am today. Is I sat down, I went to a mastermind. We were in Florida and we sit down these guys are doing big numbers, like $300,000 a year, $1 million a year, 1.2. And I'm here, insurance agent, right? $60,000 a year. And so my time is to come, and they're going to say, what are you going to do a year? And I'm like, $50,000. I was a little guy in the room, but this is the perfect room for me. And I sat down, and this guy, Satyan, you can check him out on my Facebook friends list. I always talk about him because he changed my life. Is Satyan basically sat me down, and it was a hypnosis. And he put me in a hypnosis of asking where I was and why I was limiting myself for spend. And this was interesting because on the surface level, I didn't think I was spending money because I was afraid to go in debt. That was surface level reason for me in my mind, in my little safe bubble. I didn't want to expand. What he was able to do was pull the layers back of the onion and reveal that it was way deeper than that. I what it came out to be was, I was not willing to spend money online on a credit card because I was afraid that my parents wouldn't love me anymore. Pretty crazy. And that was,
hold on, that's deep. We don't have enough time for that, but maybe we'll have you back. We talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll talk to my therapist about it tomorrow. Cause that's when
it was big. Okay. It was big. Right. After that session, we came back, and in the next 3 months, we did our biggest month, which was $117,000 in sales. So that shows you the power of just going beyond yourself, getting outside of your head. Because when you're in your head, as Tony Robbins says, you're dead.
So let me ask you this, though. So you're spending $10 a day. Was it as simple as going from $10 a day to 100 to 500 to 1,000 to 10,000? Was it that simple, or was it, all right, I got to maybe, map out the plan a little bit more, figure this out a little bit more? Like, what was that? What was the real? I mean, obviously your limiting beliefs change. You're like, I can do this. That's important. But mechanically, what happened next?
Mechanically, I came home and I changed it from $10 to $1,000. That's literally what I did.
That had to have been scary, man.
Dude, I was frightened for my life. But I realized that none of my beliefs were true. I was holding myself back. So all it took was me to move the needle in the Facebook ad spend at that time, right? And the scale was just unbelievable. This is in the days of Obama too. So people were scared for their guns, ammunition, their Second Amendment. So it really got reach, and Facebook hadn't yet put in provisions for the Second Amendment, for guns, for ammo. So it was a wide open blue ocean for us.
Yeah, because now, like, you don't see that. You can't sell anything related to guns now, right? Yeah. All right. So let's fast forward to that part. So are you staying within the niche of guns and the Second Amendment in that whole genre? You're selling, you know, anything and everything related to that. Obviously, you're not selling actual guns and ammunition because there were restrictions with that. But so when does the hammer drop, so to speak, where Facebook is like, you can't do this anymore?
So we actually did sell guns and ammo. Cliff,
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you how we did it. We did it through Trojan horses.
Okay.
So basically, what happened was people were coming on our comments of the t-shirt ads and they're saying, hey, my wife says I have too many of these t-shirts now. Can I buy something else? And we were on a t-shirt frenzy. Like, we love t-shirts, makes us money. We're great. We weren't thinking bigger. And the customers made us think bigger. So then we had to move into physical products because the t-shirts at this point weren't being bought anymore. Like, we had spent, we had all the buyers, right?
Right.
And so that's why we had to move over to physical products. And at this time, we were just looking for things that we could sling. And how we did it was we arbitraged through Amazon. I went to Amazon, I got a Prime account. I looked at products in our niche space. And then I looked at the price. I created at that time a very, very, very ugly looking website. And I just doubled the price of the item. So for instance, we could buy this 10 sign on Amazon for, I think it was like $6. And it said, due to ammo price increase, this is ammo, you know, ammo shortage times, but due to ammo increase, there will be no warning shots. That was the sign. Bought it on Amazon for $5. We sold it for $12.95 on our website. And we ran Facebook ads to it.
When you say arbitrage too, so does that mean that you were, I mean, I know what it means, but were you, mechanically, this is, I've got to be honest, I'm in my own self-interest a little bit. So were you sending people to another Amazon page that had the higher price, or were you actually fulfilling it yourself through your website?
Neither.
Okay.
So we were.
I got to hear it.
So we were building the website. They are putting their credit card through our website as if they're buying it from us.
Right.
Then I had an assistant that was sitting over here on a laptop. She would see the transaction come in. She would log into our Amazon account, purchase the product through our credit card, our Prime account, their shipping address and ship it off.
How did you were you able to change the invoice too?
That's always the number one question. So with Prime, we always check the box. This is the gift. This is a gift.
I like it. That's mm-hmm. brilliant. But, and by the way, let me ask you this now, here we are today in 2021. I've heard that it works. Does it still work? Does that type of business still work?
We still do it.
I love it.
We do it on a more extreme level though. So kind of to take it up a notch is we will test products before purchasing. Most of the stuff that we run is OEM, which means like it's untrademarked. Anybody can sell it, right. But it's always on Amazon first anyways. Like, it's been invented out of China. Someone's selling on Amazon. So we'll roll the funnel out. We'll put the product on there. And if people buy, we'll just go grab it from Amazon and ship it to them still. And then that's kind of like our test case study if the product works. And then once we see a certain KPI hit, then we go out and we import, from China. We'll grab a load.
How do you, you're going to definitely have some customers that Google or whatever, and they notice, man, I saw this thing for $6 now on Amazon and you sold it to me for 22. How do you handle that customer service scenario? Are you just saving the sale? Are you telling them to return it? What's going on there from the customer service side?
I would say out of 1,000 purchases, we might get one call.
That's it.
Yeah. That doesn't happen.
Really?
Mm-mm. Think about it. You go to the gas station and you don't argue with them at the battery cost when you know it's cheaper at Walmart.
This is true, but I feel like online it happens a little bit more. At least it happens with us. I mean, I've seen it happen.
They might price shop you at right. the time of purchase and right. go to Amazon and purchase, or they'll go to a different website and purchase. But that's just part of the deal. You know, that probably happens. We can't track it, of course, because they're purchasing through other websites. But we try to name our products outside of the typical name of that product, right? So like for our flashlight that we're kind of known for, instead of just a high beam flashlight, we called it a tactical flashlight. We also gave it the name G700. So it's a G700 tactical flashlight. So when someone Googles that or types that into Amazon, well, we're the first one that pops up anyways.
Well, that's really interesting too. I think, you know, a little bit, I'm an attorney by trade, and it's what you just did something that I think people need to pay attention to. So you basically took a generic product, and we'll talk a little bit about how you're really starting to scale things up and buying things from China as well. So you're buying a generic product, and you're giving it a trade name that you own, right?
Yes.
Right. And that's important, right? Because if you have, there's a million of the flashlights that all look the same, but right. You're now calling it the G700. So now when people search for G700, like you said, that's the only thing that they're going to find. They're not going to see basically the same flashlight somewhere else.
Yeah. Ours actually looked exactly like all the other ones on Amazon. We sold our flashlight for $56 and all the other ones below us was $5 on Amazon.
It's fucking unbelievable. Like my mind is blown a little bit. I've done a little bit of that stuff, but I think it's awesome. And I think people, again, so when you think about where you're sitting today in life, 50 years ago, if you were struggling and you needed to make extra money, you had to go get a second job. You had to, literally dig ditches. You had to borrow money. Now, again, if you're struggling, you can just listen to what Trey is doing. You can take his course. You could get on YouTube and probably just figure it out for free as well. It might take you, your learning curve is probably going to be a little bit greater than if you were to work directly with someone like Trey, but it's possible. And I think that's, really, really interesting. Like, you could start a business and start making $100,000 a year, like pretty quick, right? Facebook. So you're spending ad dollars on Facebook. Where else are you going? Do you feel like when you're on Facebook at this time, we're still kind of like way back, right? Do you feel like that there are other places where you can advertise? Is it YouTube? Is it just straight ad space on different websites? Like, what was your next step from there? Or are you just staying on Facebook?
I can walk you through that process. It's pretty substantial of how we, so like all these are like stair steps that we took, right? Like, t-shirts that got $100,000, like that was cool in a month. Like, holy smokes. It like, just to kind of give that perspective and persona is I was making $60,000 a year as an insurance agent. We did 117 in 1 month. We made what it takes me 2 years to do in 1 month. So I consider that a stepping stone. But as like, I've always tried to level up, like how do you move that needle? How do you change the projection of your company? How do you grow substantially, right? And exponentially, which creates, all kinds of problems, but we can talk about that as well. But basically, how it all happened is we're now in the physical product space. We're learning how to sell physical products. We're learning how to, pitch and do a desire and write copy and whatnot and like how a funnel works. But this was also the time when ClickFunnels came out, and we had started to build all of our product sales on ClickFunnels. And that's when I learned about this guy named Russell Brunson. And I was like, oh, it seems like a cool guy. And I listened to some of his stuff and I was like, seems like a really smart guy. And I was like, I probably should hire him as well. So again, mentors through the stages. But fun fact is, we were so new and so fresh to what we needed. We had such a huge desire for it. I think we're the third person that signed up for ClickFunnels.
Really?
So if you ever look, we were like the number, like I think our user ID is like 3, versus, 100,000 or whatever. So we've been with them since the beginning. We helped them, start, but it changed our life because I'd like to tell you the story now is how it just blew up. So we did this flashlight. It was a flashlight. We put it online. We're selling it on Facebook, doing pretty good. And anyways, this is building a database of tactical guys, right? We're still in the Obama days, tactical dudes, like they're bunkered down. They're buying, all this stuff, and they're Second Amendment, like ready to go. So we're building this list. And as I'm building it, I remember this guy, Perry Belcher, he's on stage. And I said, hey, how can I get in front of that guy? Cause that dude's smart. Like he was on stage talking massive numbers. I'd love to be a name that's in his Rolodex, right? That he knows of. And out of the 3,000 people in the room, like that's kind of hard to do. At the time, he was also running Survival Life. I think they still have it. But they're running like a credit card knife, free plus shipping and some other trinkets. And it went really well with our database. And so we started sending emails to their offers on ClickBank. ClickBank's a place where you can put your offers up and you can send email traffic to it and get paid for it. So we started to do that to get on the radar.
It's an affiliate site.
As an affiliate, yep. So we were an affiliate using our email list. And at the time, I think we got third place on the first affiliate run. And Matt Swan, who was the affiliate manager, calls and he said, "Hey, congratulations, you won third place." I think we won like two Mac computers, which was like $3,000 or something, which is pretty cool. But he's like, "Hey, where do you want me to ship the Mac computers?" And I said, "Matt, I don't want the computers, man." And he's like, "Oh, okay. Well, what else? What can we get you? You want some gold? You want some, you know, whatever?" I said, "Actually, is it cool if I just have like a dinner with Perry Belcher in Texas?" He goes, I'll check with Perry, see if that's cool, and I'll call you back." Call me back. He said, Perry's up for it. Come on down to Texas. We'll fly you in and we'll have you for dinner and fly you back out." I said, "That'd be great." And what an amazing time. What an amazing experience to get a dinner 3 hours with Perry Belcher and sit there and be like, "Dude, I was just taking notes, right? Like, I'm so new to this. I'm so like, just like, feed me. I'm so open. Like, just feed me with your intelligence," asking him stupid questions, I'm sure. But like, I was just, you know, glowing after that. And so we get back, 6 months goes by, and they hold another affiliate competition. And now, in that time, from what I learned from him, we have a database of like 1.2 million emails at this point, just a large database. And I said, "Hey, Perry, you know, we'd like to do this affiliate contest with you." They said, "Great." Matt Swan, we start running traffic, and Matt starts sending us emails, but he shows who's in first place, which was us, but he doesn't show by how much. It just showed like our username and then the affiliates underneath that. So we didn't know how close second place was, right? So we didn't know if we had to keep pushing. It's smart on their perspective, but at the point, we had 6,000 transactions within like a 3 week span. It was a 5 week competition. And I called Matt. I was like, "Matt, dude, we have 6,000 transactions. How close is second?" He's like, not too close." I said, "Well, what's not too close?" He's like, "Dude, they have like 2,000 transactions." I said, "Oh, we're way good. I was like, "All right, cool." So I hung up the phone. I said, "Don't worry about sending those anymore. Let's move on to something else." Because we had obviously won first place. And Matt Swan calls 3 days later. He goes, "Hey, I noticed that you're not pushing anymore. What advice can I give these other affiliates to push more?" And so they push more. And I said, "Matt, you're asking the wrong question." He goes, "Oh, well, what's the right question?" I said, "You should be asking me how I can push more. What would incentivize me to push more?" He goes, "Oh, that is a great question." He goes, "So what do I need to do?" I said, "Give me a private jet." He goes, "What?" I said, "I'll take a private jet from St. Louis to Las Vegas for a 3-day trip. If you can score that, I'll push." He laughs again. He's like, "Okay, I'll talk to Perry." So he calls him back 2 hours later and he goes, "Hey, we'll get you a private jet to Vegas and back for a 3-day trip if you do another 6,000 sales." I said, "Whew, okay." Get off the phone. I went up to my email guy. I said, "Hey, have you ever been on a private jet?" He's like, "Nope." I said, "Me either. You want to be on one?" He goes, "Sure." I said, "Well, here's what we got to do. We got to make 6,000 more sales." I was like, "Do you think you can do that? Do you think we can do that?"
Can I ask you a question? So with these sales, is it so just again, so people understand. So ClickBank is an affiliate network where people send traffic or they send sales to this affiliate network. And within that affiliate network, there's dozens, if not hundreds, maybe even thousands of different products and SKUs and categories,
right?
Where you as the marketer would get paid a commission based off of the sale that happens with the actual product owner. So that's how that model works. So these 6,000, these additional 6,000, these first 6,000 transactions, same product that you're running, or I mean, same marketing campaign that you're running, or are you doing different marketing initiatives for different products?
Yeah, so they had 6 products at the time. One was like a credit card knife. One was a compass. One was a bracelet. One was like a pin. So they had all like little different stuff, but it was all free plus shipping. So they're like little $6 transactions. Right. So it's really easy to get conversions because it doesn't take much effort to get your credit card out for $7.
Right.
So we're not selling hundreds of dollars of things. We're selling hundreds of or thousands of dollars of little things, okay, sure, through emails. And so back to the story. 48 hours pass and we hit 12,000 sales. So we actually secured the private jet from Survival Life, which was pretty astonishing. So they awarded us a private jet to Vegas for 3 days for being their top affiliate for that affiliate competition. So we you know, outdid everybody, all the other affiliates, but we definitely burnt our email list by doing so, which was, you know, that was for us. That's what we had to do. But I want to show you that led to something. And what that led to was, you know, what the first concept was to get in front of Perry. Right. And we got invited to a private event at Traffic Conversion called Survival Life, you know, VIP or something like that. And I learned this question that everybody should understand and learn from Michael Mayer, Seven Levels of Communication, that said, when you ever go to an event or go to a party or get introduced to somebody, the number one question you should always ask is, who are the top three people in this room that I should talk to that could benefit me, or that, you know, does similar things, like, you know, like you and Mike, like me and you, Mike, like you do television, dude, let's roll. Like, I would love to talk with you and do television, you know, national TV. Like, I've tried it before. It didn't work the greatest, but maybe we can do something big. But you would be like that guy that's referred to, and that makes an instant connection. Two pieces happen. And when you ask that question, one, they always know, because I usually go to hear either the host or whoever put it on. And I'll just ask them. I said, hey, who's the top three people? I do this. I'm looking for this. Who should I be introduced to? And they'll tell you the three people. I always write them down. I said, okay, great, thanks. And I said, by the way, can you do me a big favor? Is if you see that person, can you come grab me and just do a small introduction? Say, you know, Trey, this is Mike. Mike, this is Trey. I think you guys should talk. When they do that, the authority association is so powerful, because now I had Perry Belcher introducing me to top people in the VIP space. Mind you, there's 150 people at this event. For me to find those people in a haystack, I might find one, but not all three.
Well, that's, you know, again, I just want to highlight what you just said. I mean, it's one of the greatest ways and the most effective ways to meet the person that you want to meet. If you just randomly walked up to him at that trade show, like if you're at the 10X conference and you just happen to see Grant Cardone walking out of the bathroom and you walk up to him, try to introduce yourself, it's not going to work. But yeah, if you knew somebody who was close to him and then they introduced you, that third party reference really builds, you know, validity in who you are as well. So they're like, all right, if this guy knows him, then I'll talk to him. And by the way, the other thing too is, right, is you don't necessarily have to be close with the person who's introducing you, but what you did again is brilliant. And anybody can do that. So you go to the next trade show you go to, or right now we're on Clubhouse, which by the way, I think is going to destroy the trade show industry. I think guys like Cole Hatter and others might be nervous, because I think that Clubhouse is probably better than this stuff because the amount of access you can get and how quickly you can grow. But again, it's the same thing. It's like how you and I connected, you know, it's exactly what it was. I saw you, and how great you were. We connected really through a third party, which was the app itself, right? We didn't have a person do it. Then I reached out to you and you said yes, because you and I had shared a stage together. So we were kind of almost introduced as it was. But in the physical sense, guys, gals, everyone watching, listening, anybody can do this. And it's so simple, but it's so effective. And it builds what I always talk about, connection capital. So you have that, you have those three people in the room. What happens next?
What happened next was that next needle mover for our business. So Perry, one of the introductions he did was to this guy named Brian. And he goes, you need to talk to Brian. He does what's called dedicated emails. I said, okay, what? I don't even know what that is. And basically dedicated emails, for those listeners right now, is someone owns an email list. You pay them to send an offer on their behalf. So it comes from, like, let's say I called Victoria's Secret up and I said, hey, I got a tactical flashlight or a really good piece of lingerie that I think would really sell well. Can you send an email out selling my lingerie, right? So in this case, Brian had a list of, I don't know how much at that time, like 3 million, 5 million people on a list, big lists. And he just sends out these offers, including, you know, our offer, which was the flashlight at the time. And we get on a phone call after this meeting. He introduced me, you know, yeah, let's chat. We chatted later on and he goes, hey, we can do a test. He goes, it's working on Facebook. I said, yeah, it's working on Facebook really well, but we're kind of running out of, you know, ad spend. Like, we can't spend anymore. Facebook's not giving us the volume or the impressions. And so we're looking for other avenues, which you asked earlier, Mike, of, you know, where else did you advertise? And that's kind of where Brian came in. He goes, we can advertise with our email list. I said, perfect. How much? He goes, well, we got to test it. I said, all right, how much is the test? He said, $10,000. I was like, holy smokes. Like, I didn't have 10 grand. And so I had to go get a credit card for the 10 grand. And I was super nervous too, because I didn't know, you know, if it's going to work. So I said, Brian, how do you like, what if this doesn't work, man? And he goes, his response was, but what if it does? And I was like, so I was like, all right, let's do it. And, you know, couldn't sleep that night. And so the next day the email goes out and we doubled
it. I'm sorry. Again, this is my thing. I just cut people off. I'm sorry. But so, all right. I mean, it's so when I buy TV time or when I test something on TV, it's very similar. Minimum is 10 grand. Same thing if we're going to do like a direct mail piece from a third party, you know, 10 grand is kind of like usually the number. Radio, I can get away with actually like as low as like 2,500. But yeah. Okay, the copy itself, right? When you decided to test this into a third party list, so to speak, what about the copy? Was there something that you just knew that it already worked somewhere else? And you're like, well, if it worked there, then it's going to work here. Because yeah, that's the thing that I think people don't understand. Most of the times it actually doesn't work initially. Tell me about like the foresight and your strategy and planning into that copy before you sent that email out. Cause I think that's also super, super important that people need to pay attention to. I'm going to ask follow up, but one more thing. Is there one thing that you should definitely do when you're kind of testing that type of initiative?
A dedicated emails?
Yeah.
The biggest thing that you can do, foresight, right? Always looking back, but the best thing you could do is test your email copy to your own list and see how it does first before going to someone else, like, you know, Brian, because he's super big. And it's scary, you know, 10 grand, that's a lot of money. So I forgot what the question was.
Oh, no. So, but then from there, so you did that. Well, the question really was is like when you're, you answered it in a way. The first thing you want to do is maybe test it to your warm audience, because if it works there, then you feel good about it. And then now you're testing it to a new audience. It's not your audience. They're not your customers. I wouldn't say they're necessarily cold, but they could be.
Oh, you know. I remember what it was. You asked me how I did the copy, how I created the copy. Right. Mm-hmm. So you don't know, like I didn't. I was just being Mr. Creative, and I don't know copy. I don't know creative. I'm not a copywriter. Still to this day, not a copywriter. People say that I am, but I'm like, no, there's other people that are super powers, right? Like they understand it. So mine was super funny, super just off the wall. And I had to go look at it, but it was something in the respect of I said military. What did I say? New technology. It's something like this. New technology that the military has released to the public. That's what our subject line was. Military technology now released to the public. That's what the subject line was.
I
remember that 8 years ago. And then I just wrote, I think maybe like a paragraph. It wasn't much, maybe five lines of basically, you know, you're the first to beta test out this new military technology now available to the public, which is in this, you know, it's this chip. It's this high powered LED light that is, you know, over 700 lumens bright, and it will, you know, it's bright enough to blind any intruder. And then I had a picture. It was so funny. I had a picture of this chip. This chip was nothing, but I just had a picture of a chip and I just highlighted. I said, and I pointed an arrow to it, pretending that was the technology, I guess. I don't know. I was making stuff up at that point, but I said, you know, click to grab yours. And then boom, people click to grab it. And that was my copy, man. Like that was pretty much as clever as I could get at sending emails. But thank the Lord that it actually worked. Like for some reason it worked. And when we did that first test in with Brian, it actually doubled our money. So we gave him 10, we got back 20, and we profited probably like $3,000 or $4,000 off of that.
Now, you're at the point now where you're probably at it. You've been at it for a little while. The flashlights themselves, are you inventorying these flashlights, or are you just, is it still a kind of a almost back to the t-shirt where it's a ship on demand, print on demand? Are you shipping these things yourself, or are you shipping them out of a fulfillment center?
We had ours. Yeah. We basically had our own fulfillment center doing the flashlights. And this is when we get into like the real dirty stuff. Like this is when it gets bad and ugly. So fast forward from Brian, we did more emails with him, had lots of success, made a lot of money. Then asked Russell Brunson, what's next? He said affiliates. And so we went to work with an affiliate broker named W4 at the time, now DMS. And we worked with them and they scaled that flashlight offer into the 30 million range over a course of like 3 months. And as an entrepreneur, you know, someone who's like never done business, new to it, all I loved was seeing the Stripe account keep, you know, going up and up and up. So that was great. But what I didn't understand was the ramifications that it caused. And that's kind of where your question is, you know, when we scaled it and when we went past it at that time, we had 15,000 inbound phone calls coming in per day. We had 70,000 orders backlogged for 60 days into February. These were Christmas gifts, by the way. So chargebacks were over 10%. Held $1.6 million from us. So I could get into like some horror stories of like,
I want to hear the horror stories, but I also want to just make it clear too. So you're in a reverse scenario where affiliates are sending you traffic.
That's right.
Just so people understand. Again, yeah. I want to hear the horror stories because, you know, in one of my books, it's over there somewhere, Blueprint to Business. You know, I do talk about the horror stories. You probably heard me tell some of my horrific stories. Listen, if you're an entrepreneur, you're doing the kind of numbers that Trey's doing, the kind of numbers that I've done and continue to do, you're going to go through hell and back. It's just the way it is. But again, we're on with Trey Llewellyn. The best way to describe him, he is a e-commerce expert. He's an online expert. Obviously he really knows what he's doing. We met on Clubhouse, which is an app that if you're not on it, you need to be on it, because it's an amazing network opportunity. It just launched. I don't know when you're going to be listening to this. Maybe it's a year from now, what have you. If you're not on it a year from now, then you really missed out. So if you want some more information about Trey Llewellyn, you can just go to treylllewellyn.com, and that's treylllewellyn.com. You can also find him on Instagram, LinkedIn. He's everywhere. YouTube, right? He's got an amazing training course as well too. And by the way, which we're getting a lot of it, you know, kind of for free now. And that's also, you know, the interesting thing about Clubhouse is he's been giving this information out to thousands of people because he's been through the experiences. He cares about humanity. He cares about people and he wants to help people. Is he going to make money at some point? Absolutely. That's just we live in a capitalist society, but he's first adding value. I hate when people talk about adding value and it's like a bastardized term now. No one's really adding value. They're like, how do I convert this fucking guy into a sale? Trey's actually been giving, you know, really valuable information just like he is right now. So if you want more information, again, you can just go to treylllewellyn.com. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Alden Report. We had to break up into two episodes. The information that Trey Llewellyn just gave us is amazing, but we do have the second episode coming up. But before we do that, I want to remind you of our sponsor, Wicked Drones. It's WCKDDrones.com. So there's two D's there. Listen, if you're in need of aerial photography, whether you're in the construction business, whether you're in the insurance business, inspection services, real estate, or even a search and rescue type operation, or if you just wanted to, you know, have your kids' athletic game filmed, or maybe you just wanted to have your home filmed, whatever it is, the guys at wickeddrones.com are second to none. So go to wickeddrones.com. It's WCKDDrones.com. Tell them Mike Alden sent you, and I guarantee you this, that the services they provide are second to none. So go to wickeddrones.com, WCKDDrones.com.